Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today, we have a new guest of the pod. He's a New York City and Philly actor slash performer slash, I don't know, he'll tap dance, I guess. I don't know. It's Kevin Ray Johnson, everyone. Woo!
What's up? Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, man. This is awesome.
I love that I could still say I have a new guest on the pod because, you know, there's so many people in the world. And yes, there's probably a limited number, a finite number of musical whatever to talk about. But
yeah.
Here we are. And we're here today to talk about the 2008 filmed stage production of Rent, filmed live on Broadway, otherwise known as the final performance of Rent.
Yeah.
Ooh. So the book, music, and lyrics are by Jonathan Larson. It was directed by Michael John Warren. And according to IMDb, by user Anonymous, or one of the anonymous users, set in New York City's gritty East Village, the revolutionary rock opera Rent tells the story of a group of bohemians struggling to live and pay their rent. Quote, measuring their lives in love, these starving artists strive for success and acceptance while enduring the obstacles of poverty, illness, and the AIDS epidemic. I mean, do we need to talk about it at this point? That was very succinct. So... you've seen Rent before, right?
Please. I feel it's like a code of conduct if you're a theater performer. If you don't know Rent, like, then I don't know what you're doing.
Right. Like, I while watching this, it was just like a flood of memories coming back. And I was part of that, like, second wave of Rent heads when, like, the movie was coming out. So there was, like, that resurgence. So... in high school, you know, my sister had the album and I listened to it, and then I got a chance to see it. So watching this, I forgot like a lot about how it looked and how like the cast kind of looked small to me. It didn't feel like it was a big show.
And that's the crazy thing about it. Like, you'd be surprised. Like the cast, like, was never, I don't think it ever exceeded 20 people on, like, in the show ever, like, on Broadway. I think it's, like, the eight principals, and then I think, like, the eight ensemble are the understudies for the principals, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, like, it's really, like, that's one thing that's always surprising. I've done Rent 4 times, soon to be 5.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's worth,
so
like,
you're an expert then.
Yeah, and the thing about it though is, like, every single time I've done it, John, like, I don't think we've had more than, like, at most 25 cast members. At most. Like it's you know, it's usually give or take, you know, like between, like, you know, for me when I've done it, 16 and like 22, 23. So
okay. Yeah, because yeah, I did it, I worked at Stage Door Manor, which, you know, I've said a lot, but this is new news to you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And I actually designed a production of Rent there with kids.
Cool.
And that, it probably had around 20 to 25 as well. So that's why I think like the show is a big cast, because I'm used to seeing like, off, like, not on Broadway, but other productions of it where there's a lot of people on that fill the stage. And so watching this, I was like, oh my God, there's not a, there's not a lot
here.
Of people.
they're definitely, like, I mean, when it comes to ensemble tracks, like, Rent is definitely up there. Like, you know, when you're not just doing one thing, you're doing multiple things.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, like, the names in this cast. You know, you've got Adam Kantor and Will Chase.
Yeah. Renee Elise Goldsberry, like, you know.
And then, like, Tracy Toms.
Tracy Toms, yeah.
I know her from the movie version. And then I feel like in my brain, I was like, oh, she did it before the movie and that's how she got it. I didn't realize it was she did the movie and then she did the stage version.
Because I remember hearing stories about, like, how before the movie, she auditioned for the Broadway production multiple times and never got it. So like I think this is kind of like a crazy full circle moment that like after the movie, she was fantastic and I thought like she got to do it on Broadway and things like that. But
Wait,
even like
which
you gotta even think of the ensemble, like they had like Telly Leung in the ensemble. It's like a really stacked closing cast. Yeah.
Yes,
So and Ronnie Hicks, one of my mentors, I love him to death, who plays Benny. Love that guy. So yeah.
he w like everyone was just at the top of their game. And like, I know this is supposed to be the last production, but the last performance, but I don't know if it actually was filmed as the last performance of it. Like maybe it was
Yeah.
last week or something like that. 'Cause you know, in theater, you know, like, I don't know. Have you ever been part of a pro shot of a musical?
I know I'm at the Metropolitan Opera. I was a part of the like there's a pro shot of Fire Up in My Bones that like, you know, still is airing on PBS once in a while. So I think that's the only one I've ever really been a part of, you know.
Where, so we were talking about this, and turns out we both worked at the Met at the same time.
Yeah. Full
But
circle.
for the Met, they film it twice because they do what they call a scratch tape, one performance, and then another performance, they do it live. But then if something were to happen with the live, they can always cut to the pre-recorded one. So, but with this, I know, like with other musicals I've done, they do it over the course of like a week or a couple of days because they're trying to get the angles and everything like that. So it's kind of fascinating for this because I'm just like, how many performances were there? And, you know, obviously there's all the rent heads in the audience, so they're losing their mind being a part of this. So, okay, you've done this four times. Who did you play?
Okay, well, the first time I was Gordon the man. Look, I find some of what you teach suspect. I
Okay.
played that part, and I understudied the role of Tom Collins. Then the next two times, I played the role of Benny, and then fourth time I did it, it was kind of cool. I played Mr. Jefferson. I was a homeless man. Christmas bells are
Oh.
ringing, and I also was the pastor, and I did the Seasons of Love solo. And that was pretty cool because it was directed by Adam Pascal, the original Roger. So that was like a surreal thing. And it was just kind of cool because like he would just tell us like these little stories and like, you know, and like there's like a time he was like, I remember when Jonathan told me this and we were like, oh, he's talking about Jonathan Larson. And like we all like all these professionals turned into like little theater nerds. And it was just like I can't say anything like, you know, negative, like such a down to earth, beautiful guy. Like he's just such a kind spirit. And like it was just kind of cool to see him come back to the show after all these years and stuff like that, you know, because I know he's kind of like I didn't think he avoided it, but he kind of like, you know, steered clear of Rent for a while. But like just to see him come back to it was kind of cool.
Oh, and there's a reason why we're doing this episode. I'm setting you up to start plugging your new production of it. So here you go. Tell us more about.
I'm this production, honestly, I will definitely say is probably one of the most important shows I've done in my career. It's with the Epic Players. I'm gonna reprise pretty much the parts that I play when I did it with Adam Pascal. I'm playing Mr. Jefferson, I'm playing a homeless man, I'm doing the Seasons of Love solo, and like this other parts of the ensemble. I'm understudying Tom Collins. Shout out to Cameron, our Collins. He is just a beautiful voice, just a amazing performer. And what makes this production so cool is that it's the first production of Rent in the history of Rent that it's an all neurodiverse cast. I'm autistic. And you know, like we have a couple of actors who performed in How to Dance in Ohio on Broadway that are in the show who it's an amazing production. Our director Travis, our assistant director Cassidy, our music director Blake, like it's just an amazing creative team. This has been one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. And we open in June 4th at Arts New York Theater. It's an off-Broadway venue. And yeah, just like, you know, if like not to sell us, but like please come check it out. You will not be disappointed. Such a beautiful show,
That
beautiful
sounds amazing.
crowd.
And like you have like the talent pool, 'cause this is a, would you agree this is a hard show to do even no matter what part you're playing?
Oh, I every single time, and I've actually also helped out with the production of Rent. And like it was with it was like, you know, with a youth theater. I'm like, yo, like I know this is a popular show, but just because it's popular doesn't mean that it's easy to do. You know, I was like, you gotta put in the work. And like I know they eventually saw that, you know, with certain songs in the show, like Christmas Bells. So like, oh, this is, I was like, yeah, I was like, we're not just singing Seasons of Love for 2 hours. Like, you know, it's a very it like it's not an easy show, especially with, you know, what the story behind it, and like, you know, just basically, you know, this the history behind it and stuff like that. You don't want to, like, you know, just repeat what you've seen before, because like that's when a show like Rent can get really stale, you know, if you just basically copy what you've seen before.
Yeah, because I'm gonna assume we're similar in age, considering we grew up listening and watch and seeing this show.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
like, the music is very iconic to, but also like the design of like the Broadway production itself, both the scenic and costumes and somewhat lighting design is very iconic in its own way. And I hope in your production that Mimi doesn't wear electric blue tight pants because I still don't understand that choice.
I think for me, I'm like looking at it like, because I remember my also one huge thing about me is like I'm a huge Nirvana fan, and I have like Nirvana tattoos and everything, like, but I remember wanting to like wear a Nirvana shirt for the production with Adam Pascal, and he's like, let me explain to you why you shouldn't wear the Nirvana shirt. And he's like, because he's like, it takes place in this time period where like wouldn't be like a little bit before Nirvana blew up in the world. So it was like, so like I think like the whole blue thing is like, 'cause like I know one thing that was really popular in the late 80s, early 90s was like cross colors and things like that. Like this really bright, loud colors. So I kind of think that's what they were going with Mimi. I don't really know what our Mimi her name's Genesis. I don't know what she's gonna be wearing. But like, yeah, like I mean, yeah, those type blue pants are iconic. But yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean by that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're not directing this. You're in it.
Yeah, I'm performing in it.
You're
Yeah.
performing in it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got confused because I thought you were also directing this. So I was going to be
Oh,
like, are you going to steal some
no.
of this stuff? Because you
Oh,
should.
no, I am not directing this one. No. Yeah. No, Epic Players, it's a wonderful company. They have a wonderful creative team behind them. So yeah, Travis Burby is the director of this.
Do you think one day you'll direct this if you want to start directing?
Oh, well, I mean, I have a career in directing. You offer me a job? like, yeah, like if the right opportunity, the right situation comes, I would love to direct Rent. There's a number of shows I would love to direct. Yeah, Rent's definitely at the top of that list.
Just because, like, it's still very prevalent as a story.
It's really eerie how timeless this story is.
Oh
It's
my God.
like even like just like not to dismiss the AIDS epidemic that was going on. I'm just talking financially where we are in society right now. Like, you know, just basically trying to get by and things like that. Like, it's just really relevant like that. Like, you know, when you're in New York, you know, there are some people, the only people they have to lean on is their friends. You know, like
Right.
I got introduced to Friendsgiving. I didn't know that term until I moved to New York. So like, you know, like you know what I mean? Like, 'cause like my mom is from the South, so she would always like make these big Thanksgivings, but like when we got to me and my wife got to New York, it's Friendsgiving. We're like, oh, okay, cool. That's awesome. You know? So
So and like, I mean, like also not to downplay the AIDS epidemic, but
yeah.
like you can for like a more modern audience, it could be like equated to COVID, you know,
Yeah.
where we lost a lot of people, especially in the early days of COVID. But I mean, I digress because I feel like AIDS is still around and it's
It
still
yeah.
affecting the world, which I like in this show that you have other people, like not just the queer or the people of color, but Roger, who is a white man usually, has AIDS. And it's not really that's not really talked about, I feel like, in pop culture, because I feel like they always focus more on like the queer community or the people of color community, not necessarily
And like,
others.
no, I think, and the one thing about that's what makes Roger's character the layers of it like insanely good. Because like I, not to sidetrack a little bit, but like there's a movie called Straight Outta Compton. It's based on NWA and things like that. And at the end of the movie, the Eazy-E, the founder of like, you know, West Coast rap, was diagnosed with AIDS. And the first thing he said in a different word, but he was like, "But I'm not gay." You know, and so like
Right.
these people just instantly made this assumption that the AIDS was it was, and I hate to say this, I don't want to sound problematic, but the people assumed that it was a gay disease. And then you have these, then you see like, you know, the young man that I'm losing his name right now, that the song that Michael Jackson Gone Too Soon, like he ended up getting AIDS from a blood transfusion and things like that. And like I think Roger probably had the same mindset. He was just like, I'm a, you know, he probably was like, I'm a straight white man. And I got AIDS. Like, and so he just probably was like, wait a second, this maybe deep down inside, he was probably thinking, like, this isn't supposed to happen to me. Like, I, you know, like I'm of this community. I'm not a part, you know. So like that's why I think he was, you just see him be a, he just like, for a while, just a shell of himself. And like he's just, you can just see there's just so much that's going through his head right now. Like, how did I get to this point and things like that.
That wasn't a story that Adam Pascal told you about,
No,
like a
like he,
subtext.
Adam, like he, like Adam would tell us, like he would always give us, like just tell us like little stories about, like, you know, the production of Rent and things like that. And like he would just, I know, well, I know, our Roger in that production was Jakim Hart, amazing performer. He performed in Hell's Kitchen on Broadway, and
Oh.
yeah, he hell of a performer. So I know they, I'm pretty sure they had plenty of heart to hearts. Like I remember the coolest moment ever was when Adam had the guitar that he played on Broadway and he showed Joakim it. And I was like kind of like a fly on the wall. I was standing there when it happened. I was like, this is so cool and things like that. So I'm pretty sure that Adam, when it came to talking to the cast, he would talk about the production and generalize and stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure him and Joakim had a couple of heart to hearts about the role of Roger.
So, okay. This is turning into an interview now, and I'm just so
All
happy
right.
because no, I'm loving this because I'm now like, ah, oh, we have an expert here who can answer some questions that I may have. For example, so you played Gordon in your first production of the first
Yeah.
time. Why is he on the phone? I never understood that.
Or no, Gordon's the support group guy.
Sorry, why? So in the support group, there's that one character, at least in the Broadway run of it, he's on the phone. Is there like, was there ever a discussion about that, or did you do that in any of your productions?
Well,
Or do you have any idea as to why he's on the phone?
Gordon, he, yeah, I kind of always looked at that scene, the support group scene, as like Gordon like being really frustrated, like he like because like he's like, you know, because like some people like, you know, like he had like more, to me, my Gordon, I had a mindset of like a little less conversation, a little more action. Like we're sitting here, forget regrets, and he's like, oh my gosh, guys, like this is not helping. My T cells are low. You know, he's just like, I need more answers. So I think that was him. Like there's a support group around him, and he's breaking off. He's like, you know, he's like getting frustrated and standing up, like, oh, I can't do this, guys. Like, what is going on? This is not helping. You know,
Okay.
that's how I get. You might be mistaken. Yeah, I don't ever recall him being on the phone. Yeah, in my production, he wasn't on the phone.
Okay, well, because in this one he was, and I'm
Yeah,
just sitting.
he was like at that mic. Yeah, like he was like,
Yeah.
I think that might have just been a directing choice, because the one thing about Rent that definitely revolutionized, I think, like Rent crawled till Spring Awakening could, like, you know, run. Like I think like there was like a mindset of like a concert, rock concert feeling. I think that's what they were kind of trying to go with that. And it might have just been like, you know, to help with camera angles and stuff like that, because there's cameras all over them on this stage, you know.
I gotta say, as much as I appreciate that there is a recorded version of the Broadway run of it, a lot of the camera work in it was so distracting and just all over the place. Because there was a lot of like shaky camera movement happening, and I
Yeah.
was just sitting there being like, is this because, are they playing off of like Mark and him being a documentarian, or is this just because this is what they had at the time, or the feel they wanted to go? It was, I was just sitting.
Lots of close-ups. Yeah, like I know the one, my wife is a choreographer, so she's like, the one thing that that always irritates her when it comes to those pro shots is like, I can't see the rest of the show. She's like, I get that, like, we're focusing on the principal, but I want to see the choreography. Like, she always like tells me, like, talks about that. So
Or in this one, the reverse happens in Contact, where they're focusing on the movement of the ensemble members just like grinding against that wall or fence or whatever it was, and the singing is happening elsewhere. Granted, if memory serves, they're all under that giant sheet and they're like just being like an amorphous shape reaching out, if memory serves. But I'm just sitting there like, why are we focusing on it? Feels like they focus on the wrong things, and then they do something weird like in I'll Cover You Reprise, like they are like up they're up Collins's nostrils basically in a close-up, and I'm just sitting there like, don't this, we don't need this for this moment.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's I will say I agree with that. Like, yeah, like the close-ups, like, especially with the I'll Cover Your Reprise, like, I think, like, Michael McElroy, who his voice is just so
Butter.
beautiful, like it's just perfection. And the thing about it is, like, to me, I'm like, his voice is so good that you don't even need to be that close to him. Like, you will feel it no matter. I was like, let us see the entire show. I was like, his voice is just beautiful,
He, like, this entire cast is just going for it. And I love that. And it feels like there. I also forgot that there's also like a little wiggle room for improv, because it felt like they were fucking around at points.
Oh yeah, like, oh, Angel was Justin. I think Justin Johnson. I think that was, like, he just was having a blast. You could see he was having a blast.
How
Yeah.
Angel, like, I'm now more curious if like in the run, the Broadway run of it, how many times Angel had to be had to call out because of a broken ankle. 'Cause when they do Today for You in those heels, jumping around on and off tables and chairs and everything, I'm just sitting there like, my feet are hurting and I'm watching this.
I love that production. I love that it was more of a dance break than a, like, a drum break, because, like, I don't want to go into too many details, but when you try to, like, some people, when they try to do the drums in the break, like, it can be a little off. And so, like, I just love that, like, Justin was like, I'm just gonna just live my best life right now in this dance. So he jumped off stage and like, he was just like, just living his best life,
So, Angel as a character is an interesting character in musical theater, in my opinion, because I find that I am of two minds when it comes to them, where I feel like Angel can either be a drag queen, as stated in the show, or potentially trans, a trans person. So I don't know if, like, in your experience, have you ever witnessed this kind of conversation as to who Angel is? Or have you, especially in your the one that you're currently doing, like, is there that kind of conversation happening of like how Angel perceives themselves in the world?
Each time I've done it, and there's the one cool thing about it is, like, there was one of my angels in the past was trans. So it like it and I know they looked at the character very differently when it comes down to it, because they looked at it like, this is who I am and you can accept it. Well, like, I guess in some ways drag queen can, like, also, you can, like, look at it like two different people, I'm not saying, like, it's just like when you are in drag, I know, like, there's a stage name and stuff like that, but, like, I think with this one, I think they're more focused on being a drag queen more than, trans, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, yeah, it's just like, an interesting conversation topic where it's also with the character Anybody's in West Side Story. 'Cause I obviously it's depending on the performer, like how they want to interpret the character, but to me, there's just like it feels like they, at least like across the board, Angel is more comfortable in what is deemed women's clothes, quote unquote,
Yeah, I
or
think.
in dresses, or to like even quote, is it Maureen who says it at the funeral where, you can make a t you can find a tablecloth on the street and then turn it into a dress, and then next year it's at the Gap or whatever they say. But I don't I it's just an interesting, I feel like that's just an interesting character
Yeah.
that it, because a lot of these other characters are very straightforward, like you do drugs, you do this, you're the filmmaker slash narrator of the show.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like Angel is the one where you can have a little fun with like the intricacies of like the character.
Yeah, like I have said this on multiple occasions. I think Angels and Collins is the greatest love story in theater.
Yes.
I think the one thing about it is like they people don't realize like, and I'll cover you. This is when your heart has expired. Like they're like they know that their time might be coming up, you know? Like and like they're just like, you know, instead of like, you know, worrying about that when that's gonna happen, let's just live in today. Let's not have forget regrets, you know, or life is yours to miss. Like you're gonna miss out on life if you don't have any regrets. And they're just gonna enjoy each other's time and they're just gonna just be in love. And like it's just when it comes to Angel, like you know, when you are in like a beautiful relationship like that, like Angel clearly it was footing some of the bills sometimes, and like you know, it just like she does, she's not affected by it. She's like, you know, it's all good. It's us, you know, and things like that. I just think their story is just so beautiful. It's just like it's like hard to not have a tear in your eye in the I'll Cover You reprise. It's just hard not.
Oh, crying every version of it. Every time I think outside of listening to it, because like I can dissociate a little bit better when I'm just listening to the cast album or the soundtrack from the movie. But like watching it, once they start the eulogies, that's when the waterworks happen for
Yeah,
me.
and like it's just like I don't I'm not really one of those give advice. I don't want to be like one of those people giving note actors giving notes things, but like I remember like the one thing I told Cameron, I was like, dude, the tears are gonna come. Just let it happen. You know? I was like, but you're gonna and I was like, when it comes to that, the I'll Cover You reprise, like you're gonna have every single eyeball is gonna be focused on you and everyone's gonna be feeling your pain in that moment. So like just don't be vulnerable. Just take your time and just do your thing. And that like when it comes to that, I was like, you know, as long as you know, like I was like, when it comes out there, like if you know the song, just like, you know, if you choke up a little bit, people are gonna feel that, you know? Like you can even see Michael McElroy, like there's a part in it where he just start fighting back the tears. And like you can see like 'cause I think he was just like, this is the closing, he's like, this is the closing performance. I gotta make this perfect. But you can see in his eyes that he's fighting back tears, you know.
He's
So
like, not yet. Wait till the curtain call to cry.
he's like, it's not here yet. Like, I gotta sing the song. So yeah.
I mean, in this production you're currently working on, like, have you gotten this far? Like, to the I'll Cover You reprise
Yeah,
yet?
I we were working on it. Actually, like the last rehearsal, we were working on that scene, and I started choking up. But I just remember like after like we were asking questions, I was like, I like before I asked my question, I was like, man, Cameron, you knocked it out the park, my friend. I was just like, cause I was just sitting there like, ooh, like I was like getting like those butterfly choked up feelings, like, oh, I was like, man, this is where we are. I was like, man, wait till opening, you know? I was like, man, I was
You're like, mark it from now on, please.
like, please, Mark, I can't deal with this. And then he's like, but like it's like we all know, and like he like I can't speak more positive about the work he's doing. It's beautiful. So
And then on the reverse, you have Joanne and Maureen, who are the worst couple. Like, they are so toxic for each other, but they're part of that the friend group where you're like, you shouldn't be dating, but like you have so much history that you might as well be dating, because I don't think anybody else will Well,
You nailed it, John. Every
yes.
single group of friends have had that one couple.
Yes.
I grew up and I'm not gonna say their names, but like we had that one couple in our group. It's just like I was like, have you? They're like, it got to like, oh, they're arguing. Oh, shocker! It's just
Oh, they broke up
like
again, and now they're back together. Great.
they'll be back together tomorrow. Like we've all had that one group, that one couple. So yeah.
'Cause like, I mean, like we said, Tracy Toms was in the movie version, so they were able to expand more. And I feel like the movie may, I is the movie supposed to also be in a year? But like they pass, 'cause act one in the show is a day.
It takes place in one night. I think when it comes down to it, the movie they clearly had to like because it just wouldn't make sense to have it in one night, the first part of it. But I think it takes place the first part of it up until a little bit. But I think it takes place like within like a couple of days, a week or something like that. Because I know like he in the beginning of the movie when Taye Diggs is doing the you'll see and all that stuff, I think he's taking like flyers for the protest, and I think the protest like this is coming up like
It's
this.
coming up, and
Yeah.
then they mention like New Year's instead of Christmas, so they expand it. But yeah, and then Act Two is like the next year, you know,
Yeah.
because we get a whole we get right after Angel's death, like there's the song called Halloween. So, and that's supposed to, I guess that's supposed to be, it's supposed to be Halloween. No, it is, because they even mentioned
Yeah.
that like it's kind of fitting, like that it's this day, and she loved Halloween and dressing up and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, those two were just, they're so bad. And the scene following Goodbye Love.
Yeah, and then they're arguing, they go to market, they need this hug. Is this like they're like that is the embodiment of I was like that right there is to a T what Maureen and Joanne are. Is this like even like they're arguing, and then like they just hug and like you hear the audience laughing, and you're just like, yep, like this is how it's up. And I think they just came to the conclusion like this is how we're always gonna be. We're gonna drive each other crazy, we're gonna piss each other off,
Yeah, but also like there is some passion, at least with these two women,
Yeah.
that you can tell that like they're just, it's still new, 'cause I think it's supposed to be that they're new in a new relationship together.
Yeah, like I mean, like when it comes down to it, Joanne for me, Joanne is the true embodiment. Is like that is true love. She truly does love Maureen because Joanne is an attorney. She's a lawyer, and she's
Yeah.
clearly because like I'm thinking like I play Mr. Jefferson, like and I'm like I tried you at the office, but they said you're stage managing or something, and this is like he's
Okay.
just completely out of her comfort zone, So it's like,
I'm
yeah, so.
glad you brought that song up, one of the voicemails with Mr. Jefferson, 'cause watching this, I'm just like, are they okay? How are you portraying Mr. Jefferson? Is he like slightly homophobic?
This, I am very happy you asked me this. Let me break this down to you. So
I'm ready.
each of my processes, I always come up with characters and TV shows, cartoons, wherever it is, to like kind of like inspire my character. And the two people that keep coming to mind when it comes to Mr. Jefferson for me are Richard Gilmore from the Gilmore Girls and Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like I kind of do like a little bit of a hybrid of both, and the reason why is because Uncle Phil, I do believe that Mr. Jefferson has a sternness and has a sense of morals and beliefs like Uncle Phil does, but I also think that he kind of has a rich, privileged naiveness. Like when it comes down to the LGBTQIA community, if someone says, "I don't understand," I personally can understand like why their defenses would go up for that. But when it comes to, for me at least, with Mr. Jefferson, I think he loves Joanne to death. I don't think he wants to cut her out of her life because she's gay. I think he just genuinely doesn't understand. He just completely stuck in his ways. Like he's what, maybe in his 50s or 60s or whatever. He's just so stuck in his ways. So he's like, oh, I thought it was a man and woman. Okay, you have a girlfriend. I don't understand that, but he's like, you're still my daughter. That's how I get. I think for me, I think Mrs. Jefferson is the one probably that has a little bit more of an issue with it. But when it
Okay.
comes, yeah, that's just where I come with it. I think she might have more of an issue with it, but I because like I think because like even with like the blocking, because this is my second time playing Mr. Jefferson, it's kind of like, I always kind of like turn to her like, it said you were stage managing or something, called Daisy for our itinerary outfit at college. And like Miss Jefferson's like, and say this,
Right.
So I think she's the one, and she's like, no Doc Martens this time. I think that came straight from Mrs. Jefferson. So for me,
Oh,
yeah,
so
like
he's
no,
kind of like a puppet regurgitating what she's saying.
Like like puppy, she's the kind of one pulling and wear a dress and things like that. Like I think he doesn't really care about that, but I think Mrs. Jefferson probably does have more issues with it. But like I said, I think it when he first heard it, it probably made him uncomfortable and things like that. I'm not trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think it's just like it's just a man, a very rich, privileged man who is, when you're rich, you're in your little bubble and you're stuck in your ways, and like he just never. He hasn't for probably for many years, he's never had to think outside of his box. So this is the first time he's like, oh, I got to think outside of my box. I have a daughter who's gay. Okay, I don't understand this. Let's figure this out. I think he's just completely confused,
I only asked that because of the lines about what to wear. But with your perspective of the character, it makes sense because Mrs. Jefferson is the one who buttons the song with and a bra. So I'm like, oh, I can
and
now.
bro, and like it's like the thing was like he's like, I sing it, like I sing it classic because like my classical training and stuff like that, and she says like, tell her this, it's like a complete like clash in styles with that scene, and like Anna brah, like that's
Yeah.
like she's not singing it, she's like saying brah, so
That makes a lot of sense. And you know, I've been listening to this album for 20 plus years of my life. So you're getting a lot of thoughts, and I've done other iterations of Rent on the podcast. So it's kind of interesting to see like the where it came from, you know? And granted, these people have different interpretations than what we've listened to on the album and like what the movie did, as well as the live that happened a couple of years ago. And even like as a cast, like they probably went through so many different iterations of takes considering who's cast for that time period. So, 'cause
And
like
I just the one thing I appreciate though, more than anything, I'm not sure if I said this already. I was like, they kind of made it their own. Like the one thing that I have encountered before is people just trying to copy the soundtrack, and like it's just like that can be just,
which is like a blessing and a curse, because it's what everyone wants, but also it's as an artist, you're probably just like, I don't want to regurgitate somebody else's take, because
And that's the one thing I love about Travis with Epic. They're like, guys, like, create your characters to like tell this story. Like, you don't have, and like I know that there's like a little unwritten rule, like, don't listen to the soundtrack, with this production. They're like, which honestly is a great, I actually really appreciate that rule. Like, I love the soundtrack and I do still listen to it, but like, they're like, don't listen to the soundtrack to try to find how you're supposed to do this,
right. If
and
you're going to
things like.
listen to it, listen for the enjoyment and for the nostalgia of it. Don't be like, okay, so this is how Collins,
He
this
didn't
is
know.
how Adam Rapp did this, and this is how Jesse did I'll Cover You. Okay, so I should follow. No, I agree with them, because you know that's their take, and obviously like the cast on the cast album like went through everything, you know, with Jonathan Larson's passing, and they were able to talk to him directly about the why of it all.
Yeah,
And so
and
now.
like the one cool thing about it is like a lot of people don't realize. I remember like, and I'm not sure if Adam told us this. He's like, those are like our. He's like, when it comes down to it, he's like, guys, those were our clothes. Like, the original cast. He's like, those are like stuff we brought from home. Like some of their costume pieces. So like, it might have been like Dapper Ruby Vega had those tight blue.
You're, yeah.
He might have had them. She's like, what do you think of these?
Because in Act Two, when Roger has that black and white shirt that is like weird circular check or whatever, I was just like, what is this? But now that you say that, I'm like, oh, I can understand that a lot of these clothes probably, in theory, came from like thrift stores or off the street, or they were hand-me-downs from another person in the
And this
friend
is like
group or
the one
something.
thing about that time period is like the definitive fashion statement of that time period was anti-fashion. You just put on whatever, and that be kind of like became like the definitive fashion statement of it. Like you're not matching, but somehow it works, you know, from that time period, you know.
And then the one like thing that was that I loved about this because it was the final performance is like they brought back the,
Yeah.
well, it didn't look like it was all the original cast, but they brought back majority of them because I was
Because
like,
I know like Ronnie Hicks and Mrs. Jefferson, who did the season solo, those were two original cast members that came back for the performing it. And then I know like, you know, yeah, and I remember like Anthony Rapp and like Jesse Martin, and like I don't remember seeing Taye Diggs or Idina there, but like I know like Wilson Germain was there, Jesse Martin I think was there. So
Jesse,
like
yeah, he was there at your friend Adam Pascal was there.
like and I know Timothy Britton Parker, Sarah Jessica Parker's brother, who was the original Gordon. Fun fact, like
Wow.
he was there. So like it was kind of cool. Yeah, this like yeah, it was kind of that was like kind of like they like lowered the, it was like a half step down, and it was just a beautiful performance of Season of Love. They repeated.
Yeah. So wait, who did Rodney Hicks play in the original?
Roddy Hicks was he was in the original in the ensemble, but then he in the closing company he was Benny.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I know I think like I'm Paul, let's begin. I think that was him on the soundtrack. You know, there's only us.
Yeah.
How do you feel today? I think that's Ronnie. So yeah, I know too much about Ronnie. You know? Yeah, but like he no, Ronnie is one of like that's like a hero of mine. Honestly, like I pattern a lot of my performance in my career off of him. He's just such a good dude, such a good
He,
person.
yeah. And them coming in to sing Seasons of Love and I'll
Yeah.
Cover You as a mashup. I was just like, oh my God, I needed this like in my life just to watch it, just to get that hit of nostalgia and to just remember everything. 'Cause like so when we were planning this, and I'm gonna tell everyone this if you don't mind me
Yeah.
sharing. When I was in high, I feel like I said this in another another episode talking about Rent, but when I was in high school, my senior year, like I was really immersed, and that's when the movie came out and everything, to the point where like I wanted to be Mark, like, you know, be a filmmaker, be artsy and everything. And in high school, that senior year, I sang Rent at three different occasions.
Yeah.
I did for a talent show. I got a couple of friends together to, and we sang Seasons of Love. For a little, what was, it was like a, it was just like a little performance in our library. My friend and I sang What You Own. And
Yeah.
then for in chorus, we did a Pops concert where we sang a medley from Rent, and I sang all the solo lines for La Vie Boheme A and B.
Love
So
that. Yes.
like I was immersed in it in high school, and then
Yeah.
obviously as years went on, I'm still in it, and like this is an album that I'll revisit every so often because I'm just like I'm in a Rent mood, you know. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Well, no, I completely get what you mean. Like when it comes to that, like Rent is just I think, and I'm gonna sound old, like these kids today in theater, but I really don't think people understand, like especially the young theater performers, they understand how surreal it was when you saw that Rent was closing on Broadway. Like I remember, it's so in my mind, I was like, in my mind, when I'm an 18-year-old, 19-year-old theater performer, I'm like, Rent Phantom never gonna close. It'll always be there. And now at, you know, I'm 40. like I'm like, wow. Like I still don't think people really understand when the Rent closing notice I saw on Playbill, I remember like, this can't be real. I was like, it's closing. And then like I remember like they did the little Tony performance of like, you know, saying their goodbyes, the original cast and all that stuff were talking about Rent. And I was like, wow, this is real. So like I remember the first time I saw the live performance, the closing performance, I was like, this This is crazy. And that's the one thing about that entire performance, that you can just feel the atmosphere of like, this is it, you know? Like yeah, it was,
Right.
yeah, you're like, this is it. Like, you're like, holy moly. Like, it's like you, like the whole leave it out on the stage, like you can tell every single cast member, they're like, this is the last time I get to sing this. This is the last time this is gonna be sung on Broadway, things like that. And like, you know, luckily they did the off-Broadway revival short, like I'm not like a year or something after, and it was great. I saw that as well. But like, yeah, it was, I just remember just thinking how surreal that was, you know?
But it's great that the show itself has longevity.
Yeah,
So like you've done it. This is your fifth time or fourth time doing it?
with Epic Players, it'll be my fifth production. Yeah.
Yeah, so like you've done it 5 times. I designed it at a theater camp once. You know that's a show that they do a lot, which they probably shouldn't, but they use the older kids, so it's fine.
Okay.
We
Like,
they the production that I designed, and I'm sorry, listeners, if I'm repeating myself, but you'll find this hilarious. They originally cut contact because obviously teenagers, so they didn't want to do that. But then they brought it back. They put it back in a way where they weren't. I think they did the music, but they weren't really singing the lyrics. And the concept that the director came up with was like, it's centered around Angel being in the hospital. So they were like, there was like Angel and a couple of dancing doctors and nurses that were to like, it was a way for Angel to pass, basically.
yeah.
And it was done well, in my opinion. My totally biased opinion. But I'll never forget getting that note being like, we need six like medical staff costumes. And
Yeah.
I was like, I have a night to come up with this. Okay, let's
Yeah.
go.
I just, wow. That's
Oh, and that's right. So there was like, oh, I think it was like maybe two or three doctors, two or three nurses, and then two people representing AIDS. Which it sounds crazy,
Yeah.
but you know, when you're given like 24 hours to come up
24
with
hours,
something,
that you came up with that in 24 hours. So like, my hat's off to you for that. Yeah.
we don't w working there, you don't have time to think. You have to just go.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, like I know my wife worked at French Was for a couple summers, and she's like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, she's like, you
Yep.
don't really have time to think. You're like, you just gotta do it. So
You got to commit to a bit and figure it out. 'Cause
yeah.
like, I mean, we're recording this like a month in advance of the release of the episode. So you're in rehearsals now for a show that's opening in June. So like you have the time to settle down and think about this, and like your director has like time to think about the concepts of things.
Yeah, and like the one thing I appreciate more than anything when it comes to like popular shows, is when you have a clear vision. And the one thing about everyone at Epic, they have such a clear, like Travis, Cassidy, and Blake, they have such a clear vision. And like, that really makes things so much easier for the actor. It really does. Like, when they're like, I encountered a director one time who
Just once?
didn't really have a trying to reinvent the wheel and like overcomplicating certain things in the production, and it completely confused the actors, and you probably because you probably it was probably seen when we're on stage. So
Oh
that's
boy.
yeah,
Ooh.
that's all I'm gonna say. That's all I should say, you know. So yeah.
All right, let's get into Strap and Flat, shall
Yeah,
we?
let's do this.
Sharp flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I do have some flats, but I have to say, it's not about the show. It's about the pro shot itself.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it earlier, I'm flatting the shaky camera work because it was a little too distracting. Like there was moments where in the same shot, they would zoom in on one character, zoom out, and zoom in on somebody else. And I'm just sitting there like, figure it out. Dude.
And I think when it comes to like, you know, pro shots, I think like anyone who's watching a pro shot, they know that this is a live theater production. So like, my whole thing, and I remember like saying this, I was like, I kind of just wish that we could have just saw the stage sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you know, like not to like not to give credit to the bootleggers, but like how you like the bootleggers, how you can see the entire stage. I'm kind of like in a more clear version of that. Like I wouldn't mind seeing that more with pro shots, because like pro shots love close-ups, you know.
Which
And
is, which goes to my next flat, which is the editing, because I'm like your wife, where I just want to see the stage. You know,
yeah.
I like, I'm a bad audience member when it comes to going to see theater, because I like to focus, my eyes focus on the stuff happening in the background. You know, where I'm paying attention to the dancers, or like if there's a couple walking upstage behind what's happening in front with our leads, I'm watching them. And that's my issue, because like I said, I'm a bad theater goer, because I work in theater. So to me, I'm more interested in like what's going on around. So
Definitely,
like
yeah.
with a show like this, where these are real people and they are representative of real people, and yeah, they're singing, yeah, they're dancing, but it's a musical, so whatever. But like it's a real story. So like the world building is something that I would like to enjoy more. I guess I'm just saying I want to go see the show. So maybe I'll go get a ticket to go see your production of it.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, like I think
If there aren't any left, I should get on it now.
yeah, like yeah, hopefully. Yeah, no, I know it's gonna be a good show. And I think for me, a flat for me would be the intermission. I know that, like there's like that big countdown, and I'm like, I kind of wish they maybe would have cut it down, maybe like and
Yeah, that's fair.
even though and it might have come off more like a one act, but I'm like, we were just like, you just like sitting there like, and you're just watching this countdown. I'm like,
For
maybe that was like,
10 minutes.
yeah, like the countdown for 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay, it's like, can we, I want to see the next, can we get to Season of Love? Can we, you know, that was like one thing that always annoys me a little bit, but yeah.
Any other flats?
Flats, I think you said it perfectly. I think for me, my favorite, one of my favorite songs, numbers is Christmas Bells. And like you said, John, there's so you like to look at so many things going on. And I remember like the editing of that, like I thought they did a great job. And I think I kind of liked how like they didn't take the shot off. Like, you know, they'll do like Angel and Collins Kiss Me, It's Beginning to Snow, and then like they will somehow zoom to Roger and Mark and stuff like that. I thought that was cool, but I'm like, I still would have loved to have seen like the entire
Right,
stage.
because that's one song where when it builds, it's just a cacophony of sound, because it's a representation of New York City, which we
And like
both live in New York, so we know, like,
there's so much going on. Like, and
there's.
like not even for the people who are live outside of New York, like, you know, besides the Midtown craziness, everywhere you go, any borough in New York, there's always a lot of stuff going on. And like, to me, I think it would have been so cool if they just like kind of like did like, you know, shots of like seeing the entire stage. And then maybe the only close up is when Maureen's like, which way to the stage? That's when they zoom on Maureen really
Yes.
quickly. That would have been cool, like, because that's the first time you see Maureen in the show, technically. So, like, oh, okay, Eden Espinosa, let's do this, you know?
I love we're directing this like 18 years later. But okay, so actually, I did sharp the intermission just because I understand that they were going for the theatrical experience. And it was nice to witness, you know, and be like, oh, we're seeing the crew change the scenery up, which it was just so funny, because like working in theater, you know, it's before professionally, like it's brought into your head to be like, you have to wear blacks or darks or something, and then you watch this and you see some guy wear a hockey jersey that is clearly white, and you're like, okay, great.
I love that. And also, like, I think the one thing I gotta constantly remind myself is like, even when I've taken contracts outside in the country, wherever in the country, I have to remember that there are some people who have never been to New York. They've never seen a Broadway show and things like that. And like, for me, I gotta keep humbling myself and like, you know, stop taking that for granted. 'Cause like, there are some people like, I've never even been to New York. I've never seen a Broadway show. I'm like, oh, really?
Right.
Like, it's kind of like when I was 30, I had a contract in Florida. My wife grew up in Florida, and that's where I met her. But I was like, I've never been to Disney World. She's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, it's Disney World. I'm like, why? And like, and then she brought me for the first time. I'm like, oh my God, I'm at Disney World. She's like, yeah, okay. I'm like, you know, so I just like, you know,
Right, it's one of those things where you're desensitized if you live there, but if
yeah.
you're visiting, you're just like, oh my God, let's go, let's
Like I was
touch everything.
geeking out, and she was just like, yeah, it's Disney World, okay. You know, so yeah.
Other sharps that I have, I want to sharp the cast because
Wait.
everyone's incredible.
Yeah.
And everybody who has done it is incredible, but like this cast was great. I'm just gonna sharp the iconicness of the show itself. Just
Yeah.
because, like we said, it transcends time and it's dealing with very real issues that will always be issues, you know.
Definitely, no, I completely agree. Like, I don't think there's ever going to be a time where Rent is not going to have an audience, you know, especially like, and like, you know, if that day comes, I don't want to see it, but like, you know, like Rent's always going to have an audience. And one of my sharps, you know, to add on to the cast is I thoroughly, the I Should Tell You, with Roger and Mimi, that like, I think Will Chase, when it comes to peeling down the layers and putting his guard down, like, I don't know, there's something about that scene. Like, I always am blown away with it because, like, his guard is up the entire his guard is up with the person he lives with in Mark. But like when she's like AZT break, like you need to see like his guard just come down and like you can see those layers peel away. And I just think he just Will did that flawlessly, you know. So
And
yeah.
then I love all of the music, but I'm sharping Christmas Bells and I'll Cover You reprise because they're
Yeah.
because like Christmas Bells isn't in the movie version, like the one where they brought back majority of the cast to do the original cast to do it. And I missed that because I love the finale of it, the buildup of that song. And then I'll Cover You reprise just because, you know, it reminds me I have emotions. And
Yeah,
it's
and it reminds you like it's okay to mourn, it's okay to cry. You know, like it doesn't make you a lesser of a person if you do that. My wife constantly reminds me of that. So yeah.
I
Yeah.
was ugly crying and waiting for my Academy Award
Yeah.
because that. There may have been snot involved. I can't. I don't want
Yeah.
to delve too much information on that. But do you have any other sharps?
Other stuff, let me see. I going back to Christmas Bells, because like I said, we met at the Met and I did La Boheme there. So I think it's really cool in Jonathan Larson's, like, you know, his own creative way, how he's essentially paying homage to La Boheme in Christmas Bells. Like you can just like this with how he composed it, like, you know, solo, 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 solo chorus, Christmas Bells. Like it's just like it's
Yeah.
like I'm like, okay, he was clearly a huge fan of opera. You know, and I love, like, you know, in La Boheme, like Musetta's Waltz, that's Mimi's aria in La Boheme, which, like, you know, I remember telling the cast that, they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, it's called Musetta's Waltz. It's Mimi's aria. And
The
it's like,
names as well of the characters,
yeah.
like he Americanized them, basically.
He Americanized them. Like, I know, like, with that song, she's like trying to make her old guy jealous with her new guy. And in La Vie Boheme, it's kind of like, you know, Benny's there and Roger. So it's kind of like, I just like love how he did it in such a tasteful way. He didn't do it like in a rebellious way. He did it like this inspired me, you know. So I love.
Yeah, because like for those that don't know La Boheme, like this is probably a good translation or introduction to it,
Yeah.
because he follows everything, the beats, the types of songs. I had to refer to a friend to be like, did he actually borrow music? And she was like, well, kind of, because like. Light My Candle there's another aria
Yeah.
in La Boheme that is similar to that. So, and like I said, the names, like there's a character named Chouinard, and that is the angel equivalent because Angel Dumas Chouinard.
Yeah.
Like so,
Yeah.
so he there isn't like a Roger or a Mark, but I can't remember what their counterparts are, but it's very like. The Italian version of Roger and Mark.
Yeah,
I want to say like
definitely.
it's Maurizio or something like that as Mark, but it's not that, you know. It's
Yeah.
just
So like
but
that's one of my like one of my favorite things. And like yeah, I just like, you know, I just like you said, the entire cast, man. Double sharp. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? And for this, I treat it as like, would you listen to any of the songs on its own outside of watching this?
Well,
And for me, I listened to this album, the whole album.
I do listen to the album. I remember, like, I'm a Minnesota kid. I grew up in Minnesota, and like, when I would listen to the radio, that was the first time I ever heard on like a normal radio a theater song. That's the first time like Seasons of Love was on. Like, that would be on their playlist sometimes. KDWB, any Minnesotans, but like yeah, like it, like I remember I was like, wow, this is from Rent, and like you would just hear the Rent song on the radio. Like for my two songs will probably be that I'm Seasons of Love, Rent from like Rent, and probably Santa Fe, because I think Santa Fe, for us New Yorkers, there are people who are lifelong New Yorkers and they will live there till the end, till their heart has expired. But then like Santa Fe, I think is a great representation of like, when you're like, all right, I gotta get out. And you're like, Santa Fe is like, like that moment, like when's the right time to get out? Let's open up a restaurant in Santa Fe, like this romanticizing the thought of just like a slower life and things like that. So I that's what I love about Santa Fe. It's just like, because it kind of does, and like, even in that moment, Roger's like, man, he's smiling. Even in the movie, like, Adam Pascal smiles in that moment because like they're just enjoying, like, oh man, the thought of getting out of here is great. Every New Yorker has that one thought at least once in their life,
At least once. Come
Yeah,
on.
a week.
Especially nowadays when we had the mass exodus during the pandemic. It's just like, oh, it's on everyone's mind almost constantly. One last question before we get to plugs. And because I have you on here and you're a performer, I'm going to ask you, okay, you get to do the show for a sixth time, right? But you get to pick who you want to play. Who do you want to play? And it could be anybody, any like we're crossing, gendered characters or anything else. I mean, you could say Mimi for all I care, but like, who do you want to play?
Oh, I'm not going to talk about the roles I have done. I would probably say either Maureen because of Over the Moon. I just would love to see if I have the stamina to do that. Because that's an entire scene. Or I would probably have to go with Roger. I would probably those are the two roles that I because I remember like just growing up, like listening to rock music, stuff like that. I was like, like Roger, I think I can kind of connect to that. So I was like Maureen or Roger, just because, yeah, just to see if I have the strength to do those parts, But if someone came up and gave me Collins again, I could do Collins forever. But yeah, but
Which, and Maureen's an interesting character because, like, you don't see her really for the first hour-ish of the show. She comes in, does Over the Moon, and then is there for the rest of the show. But her presence is talked about.
her
And
present, and like you gotta like when like because like she it's kind of like the musical theater version of Thanos is coming. It really is, because like it's like Maureen's got like Maureen, 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 and then she comes and you're like, here we
She's
go,
here.
like this is Maureen, all right, let's see what you got. And then you're like, oh okay. Like that's just so I think that it'll just be like challenge wise an actor, I would say Maureen and Roger. So, and maybe also, oh, see, now you got me thinking. Also, maybe Joanne as well. I don't know why. Just something about Joanne's character, just like this, how she has to wear. She's, if you think about it, she's the only one in the show that's wearing multiple hats. Like when it comes to like, she's an attorney, she's a stage manager, she's the girlfriend of Maureen, which is a job in itself.
She's
So
the newcomer in the group
like,
as
kind of like the
well.
newcomer in the group, like trying to like fit in. Things like that, but also like don't want to like step on anyone's toes and things like that. Like there's like there's a lot of things going on. Like and like yeah, so probably Joanne, because just yeah.
All right. Well, I'm calling it. We're done with the episode. We did Rent, filmed live on Broadway.
Yeah.
Woo!
Awesome.
Kevin, what do you have to plug or promote that you've plugged and promoted the whole show, the
I'm happy you asked, John.
whole
I am doing Rent with the Epic Players. It's going to be at the Off-Broadway venue, the Arts in New York Theater. I'm playing Mr. Jefferson. I'm doing the Seasons of Love solo. I'm also playing a homeless man, and I'm understudying Tom Collins. The cast has been truly the most hardworking, beautiful cast I've probably ever been a part of. One of the most important productions I've ever been a part of. It's an all neurodiverse cast, which is just such a blessing to be a part of. Epic Players is truly, truly a wonderful place, and I think I can speak the world of Travis, Cassidy, Cameron, this all the people that are part of it, Blake, they're Aubrey, they're just all amazing. And I just really hope you guys all come and support this, because it's gonna be a truly wonderful show celebrating the 30th anniversary.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. 30th anniversary, 30 years. Can you believe that?
Damn. And it's still prevalent, you
It's
know?
still, it's like, like I said, like we said, there's always gonna be an audience for rent. And like I said, I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited to see how people
That's
look at this
amazing.
show. It's a beautiful show. I'm like, the cast is beautiful, and you're gonna definitely be in for a treat when you come see it. Other than that, would you like my handles or anything?
Sure,
Oh, cool.
yeah.
My Instagram is, I just got back on Instagram like a month ago. It's KRJ Actor 81818. That's me and my wife's anniversary, 81818. So
Okay.
yeah, KRJ Actor 81818. And then my Facebook is facebook.com/KevinRayActor, KEVINRAY Actor,
Actor.
ACTOR. Yeah. And yeah,
Okay.
that's pretty much what I'm on, both of the things I'm on. I'm not on TikTok or anything like that yet. Yeah, I might be too old for that.
Yeah. TikTok is just a weird place after their last year when there was the ban, not a ban that happened. And I'm
Yeah.
just like, we're done. We don't need to doom scroll anymore on here. We'll do it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk more about Rent, or if you have some fun stories from your production of Rent, because like I said, this show is like, I feel like what other shows' goal should be, which is the longevity of it, where it doesn't necessarily, like, it lived on Broadway for 12 years, but like it doesn't have to. Shows don't have to go to Broadway. It just has to be performed. And I keep harping on this in other episodes, and I'm sorry for those who are listening that are just like sick of me talking about it, but like it's, I don't know if you share the same ideology on theater, but I feel like that's the true goal, to be like, we're still doing Rent, we're still doing Cabaret, we're still doing Oklahoma, you know? So
I have been fortunate enough to have multiple Broadway callbacks and things like that. But the one thing I constantly tell any student that I teach or anything like that is Broadway, please don't make that be the end all be all. Please, please do not do that. Because if you go to New York and have the mindset of Broadway or nothing, you're not going to survive a year in New York. I know that people who have great regional careers, and their confidence is built up, and then they go to New York and they're gone after 6 months. 'Cause I'm just like, it's just a different monster. Everyone there was the big fish. Everyone there
Right.
was everyone like Billy Porter said one time, everyone is cute. Everyone everyone can sing, everyone can dance, everyone can do their thing. It's just it's more than I forget. I remember seeing this statistic one time, over 100,000 or 200,000 people or something like that audition for Broadway every year, and less than 1% are cast. So
Damn.
that, and that's not to discourage anyone. I also, at the same time, if you want to make it to Broadway, go for it. But just know that it might be a long road. Don't get discouraged with the word no. No is a complete sentence,
You can email me at buttersungpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at buttersungpod. Tell me, well, like I said, tell me your fun story from being in a show, or if you've seen Rent and there was something different that, like I mentioned, the stage door production where we cut contact, but we had it with like dancing doctor staff and viruses. So like that's something interesting that isn't done. Let me know. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're doing yet another yet another pro shot, and we'll be discussing the 2021 London revival of Anything Goes.
Yes.
Yes, Kevin, welcome to the pod family.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored. Thank
I
you so
really would love you to come back and we can do a non-rent episode, or it doesn't have to be a giant plug for whatever you're working on. You can
much.
do whatever you want.
Definitely, we'll definitely be in touch. I definitely will. I'm more than honored to come back whenever you like me.
And have your wife come on too. I'm always looking for new people
Oh
if she's
no, like
interested.
she, the choreographer mindset. Yeah, I know my wife Rachel will definitely have a lot. There's a lot of shows she can talk about. I know Alice by Heart's one of her favorite shows.
Yes.
So
Well,
yeah.
we will figure something out. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Take care.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.